The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Late night show host Jimmy Kimmel has been indefinitely removed from his program following threats from the Federal Communications Commission chair, a Trump appointee. He criticized Kimmel's comments following the killing of Charlie Kirk. Brendan Carr threatened that he might take action against local stations broadcasting Kimmel's late night show before ABC, which is a subsidiary of Disney, pulled the show. So what awful things must Jimmy Kimmel have said to deserve this fate? Just have a listen.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks? They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. Okay. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition. Construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend. This is how a four-year-old mourns a goldfish, okay?
And that's Jimmy Kimmel, and always funny, even in the darkest of times. But where does his suspension leave free speech in America and the First Amendment rights? Lorcan Nyhan is head of training at the Communications Clinic and Sunday Independent columnist. He's with me now in studio. Good morning, Lorcan.
Morning.
Are you surprised that Disney, ABC, a subsidiary, took this action?
I'm not surprised once you saw the quotes from the FCC chair, once you saw how direct he was that there would have to be consequences of this, and when you know what other companies and other networks have done to bow towards Trump and Trump pressure. So with that context, no. But if you had asked me 12 months ago, would I have thought that Jimmy Kimmel would be cancelled because of something he said on his show that was quite, really tame? Well, then yes, I would have been shocked.
What Carr said was that on a right-wing podcast that Kimmel's remarks were part of a concerted effort to lie to the American people.
Yeah, and that's the bit that looked at they've targeted in on is the fact that he said that they're trying to say he's anything other than one of them, and they would argue that, look, he was left-leaning and that his mother has said that in the last number of years he's become more left-leaning or the last number of months. But really, look, when it comes down to it, I don't think any other country would be having this conversation around motive if something like this had happened. What they would be looking at is, how do you get the guns? Like, how can somebody who has this level of need to act get a gun so easily? So other countries wouldn't be having this conversation. But it also points to how poorly America are set up to deal with an actor like this in the Oval Office, because of so much of their roles being taken by political appointees. I mean, the head of the FCC is a Trump appointee, as you said. He was also involved in the Heritage Foundation. He was involved, in writing the Project 2025. So he is very much aligned with the Trump agenda, so therefore will do what Trump wants him to do. And so America is incredibly poorly set up, has been governed by norms rather than, anything you can do to stop this.
Now, trying to get a handle on this, and many people who came to Charlie Kirk only after his death don't really know much about him or what he was saying. And of course, he's been sanctified by Trump and his acolytes since his death. I mean, extraordinary scenes that a civilian should be flown in Air Force Two, that flags should be flown at half mast for a civilian, when other people who've been more politically involved who've been killed did not merit that kind of honour. So it is quite extraordinary. So let's get to know a bit about what Charlie Kirk was standing for. I want to, first of all, play this clip on abortion. He was questioned by a college student about abortion and when it might be permissible, and a warning that this clip does make a mention of rape, which may have been bleeped by the publisher.
There's, like, in any case, you don't think there's any case where abortion should be legal?
There's a very, very rare couple cases.
Okay, so you do think that a couple cases it is legal?
If cesarean section is not going to save the mother's life, and the mother's life is actually at risk, which is debated amongst growing numbers of OBGYNs.
Okay.
That is the only case where abortion should be allowed. But people say that it is a growing consensus in the pro-life world that abortion is never medically necessary.
Okay. So if you had a daughter and she was 10 and she got raped and she was going to give birth and she would and she was going to give birth and she was going to live, would you want her to go through that and carry her baby?
That's awfully graphic.
But it's a real life scenario that happens to many people.
The answer is yes, the baby would be delivered.
Oh, okay, great. So that's insane.
But let me tell you why. No, hold on. Let me ask you a question. There's two ultrasounds I have. One is a baby conceived in one is a baby conceived by a loving couple. Which one is which?
Which person here was conceived by
Tell me which one was conceived by
You don't know.
Exactly, because it's all human rights
but
and it's all human beings.
But that doesn't matter. It's about your daughter who has to give birth to it and is going to be tortured by that for the rest of her life.
That's
going to take away every freedom she's ever going to have.
Well,
that's going to ruin her life. She's going to grow up and she's going to be attached to another thing.
The point is how you were conceived is irrelevant to what human rights you get. Hold on one second. If a person conceived in walks down the side of the street, it's not like they don't get First Amendment rights or Second Amendment rights.
It's not about that person.
The worst thing to do to that the daughter is to then say, hey, we're going to go murder the being inside of you.
Okay, so that's his view on abortion and when it might or might not be permitted to save the life of a mother in an extreme circumstance, yes. But a 10-year-old who's been raped and has a baby growing inside them, absolutely not.
Yeah, and look, that's typical of what his style of debate was, where he would spend his time going to college campuses and having similar debates with college students who come up to a mic, and then he would put forward his views such as they are. And look, I think a huge amount of what has been deemed as criticism of Charlie Kirk subsequent to his murder has just been people playing clips like that, has been people saying here is what he said, and just putting his quotes out there. The way I would describe him to people is he's the Rush Limbaugh. He was, unfortunately, the Rush Limbaugh of the social media generation. You know, it's a similar thing. It's very much the right wing agenda articulated very, very strongly.
Welcomed debate with everybody. I mean, that's what he said. He will talk with anybody. He'll argue the toss with anyone. And his mantra was, prove me wrong.
Yeah, and he was a skilled debater, a skilled communicator, and that's why he had impact and he had reach. So there's a couple of different things now if you look at, given the cancellation of Jimmy Kimmel. There is a degree now, obviously, within the MAGA movement where it is free speech for us, but cancellation for you, effectively. And that hypocrisy won't surprise people, but yet it is noteworthy. There's also... You mentioned the word sanctifying there, of that they've sanctified Charlie Kirk. I think it's exactly the right phrase. And that is part of the playbook of any propaganda agenda, where they do find particularly young people, particularly young martyrs, they sanctify them, they martyr them, and they make them the symbol of their movement. They either use it as an excuse for action, which is what's happened here as well, but they also then use it as...
Who will probably say, yeah, I go a long way with Charlie Kirk on abortion rights and so on, or the lack of abortion rights. But in terms of women in generally, it's interesting, his view on how women should live in the modern world. And this is what he had to say after the engagement of Taylor Swift with Travis Kelce.
All kidding and sarcasm aside, this is something that I hope will make Taylor Swift more conservative. Engage in reality more and get outside of the abstract clouds. Reject feminism. Submit to your husband, Taylor. You're not in charge.
What century is that part of Charlie Kirk living in?
And a huge amount of Kirk's appeal was he spoke to a particular type of disenfranchised man who doesn't like feminism, who doesn't like the changes, the economic changes, the social changes, and who feels unheard and feels left behind. That is genuinely, that was his appeal. So that's a really extreme version of it. But he spent the vast majority of his time talking about how women are not happy, how they were happier in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and basically that biblical understanding of family and that very conservative understanding of family, which is that men are happier when they're out working, when they have kids and they're out working to provide for them, and women are happier when they're at home with the kids. And actually any woman who thinks she isn't, has been lied to, has been misled, isn't smart enough to realise that actually what she should want to be doing is getting married young and having kids at home. So there is obviously a wider discussion to be had around that we haven't fully, you know, realised the feminist agenda in that that women now work and have to do the vast majority of the care. So he has pinpointed a problem, but his solution is go back to the 50s and 60s, and as you said, they're submit to your husband rather than husband take on more of the care and take on more of the role.
Taylor, you're not in charge. Now, an extraordinary discussion has gone on about his attitude generally to race and, you know, keeping America white or making America whiter. These are just some of the things he had to say about race.
You want to go thought crime? Like, I'm sorry, if I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. Happening all the time in urban America, prowling blacks go around for fun to go target white people. That's a fact. Joy Reid and Michelle Obama and Sheila Jackson Lee and Ketanji Brown Jackson, they're coming out and they're saying, I'm only here because of affirmative action. Yeah, we know. You do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously. You had to go steal a white person's slot to go be taken somewhat seriously.
I mean, that's pure racism.
Yeah, pure and simple. He was, and it is obviously horrible that this individual has been killed. But an advocate for the great replacement theory. So, you know, that idea that the white people are being replaced, taken out by mass immigration. I mean, you see there, yeah. I mean, that's once again, you play his views and you don't really need to comment around the views, because once you hear the quotes, you hear what he believed, and he strongly believed and he firmly believed. I think what's happening here, and you're going to see the hypocrisy over Jimmy Kimmel, hypocrisy over free speeches. Donald Trump has done what Donald Trump does really, really powerfully in the aftermath of this, where he frames things to suit his own agenda. So I think the most important interview that he's done since the shooting has when he was on Fox, and when he was asked, how are you going to bring America together? And he said, I'll tell you something that's going to get me in trouble, but I couldn't care less how we're going to bring them together, because the radicals on the right are radicals because they don't want to see crime and they don't want to see people coming into this country to do crime, while the radicals on the left are the real problem. Mm-hmm. So he's basically said, yes, there are radicals on both sides, but my radicals are doing it for good reasons, and his good reasons are basically stop immigration and linking immigration to crime, but the left are the ones who are the problem. So he has given himself a framing to basically say, I can do what I want, even if it's hypocritical, because right radicals are fine because they're doing it for what I see as the right reasons. It's the left that are the problem. Mm-hmm. So when he's asked about this, that's going to be the framing that he uses.
I mean, most recently he said America was at its peak when we halted immigration for 40 years. This is Charlie Kirk. And we dropped our foreign-born percentage to its lowest ever level. We should be unafraid to do that. Before that, in March of 2024, the American Democrat Party hates this country. They want to see it collapse. They love it when America becomes less white. And another one in March of 2024, the great replacement strategy, which is well underway every single day in our southern border, is a strategy to replace white rural America with something different. And he's anti-Islam. He reckons that the hard left are using the Islamic scimitar to slit America's throat, that sort of stuff.
Mm. And look, he has said all of this bawly out loud, but, you know...
But he was free to do that. Under the First Amendment, he could be anti-black, he could be anti-Islam, he could say what he liked.
And yet you'd find a fair amount of quotes talking about cancel culture and woke has gone too far, you know. But, you know, he has said all that, like, plainly. He was obviously very close to the Vice President, J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance has said similar things, but kind of more codified in his more intellectual language, let's say. He has a similar viewpoint on what it means to be American, about how history and heritage is more important than just coming here and becoming an American. So, like, Kirk was very much aligned with that wing of the party, that J.D. Vance wing. So the fact that those views are there, the fact that people are hearing him, in fact, he's going to be making a martyr. He's being made a martyr on behalf of those views, and that's a big shift in American politics, and it's a big shift in the percentage of people who now believe that version of what it means to be an American and that version of their politics.
What does the latest event mean? The suspension of Jimmy Kimmel, and before that we had the axing of Stephen Colbert's show. I mean, Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, Bill Maher will all be more nervous this morning, I would suspect.
Well, Donald Trump has already basically said that, where he's in his tweet welcoming Jimmy Kimmel's indefinite suspension and saying it's good news for America. He has referenced Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers, basically saying they're the only ones left and they have no talent, or something similar to that. So he's already targeting him. Gavin Newsom has said it's quite clearly a deliberate approach to target the only late night talk show host that Trump wants to go after. Those
the most vocal critics of Trump. Trump. You know, making fun of him seems to be the most effective weapon against Trump. I mean, the Democrats piously pontificating about what a danger he is to American democracy doesn't hit the spot, but the comedians do.
Yeah, and it's obviously a sore point for him. He obviously watches, and it's obviously an issue for him, given that they have, I suppose, mobilized and used this as an opportunity to remove yet another one of them. Humor is an incredibly, you know, effective political tactic. You could argue that Obama in the correspondence dinner a number of years ago, where he humiliated Trump in public, led to Trump running. So maybe, you know, a little bit less humor would have been no harm from the Democratic point of view. But at this stage, yes. And look, that's the approach that the likes of Gavin Newsom have taken, where they have, you know, tried to bring ridicule into the agenda as well. Look, it's obviously, if you're an American who cared about free speech, who cares about holding power to account, it's obviously like deeply, deeply concerning. I mean, that's two now late night show hosts who, for various reasons, they've managed to get cancelled from late night television. There will be more to come.
How far are we from Trump seizing absolute power?
I think if you had said what has happened since he's taken over the presidency a year ago, people would have said, you're alarmist, you've got Trump derangement syndrome. Stop overhyping this. Stop overanalyzing this. Of course he's not going to get rid of Stephen Colbert. Of course he's not going to get Jimmy Kimmel fired. Imagine if we had said this 12 months ago. And therefore, I don't think you can rule anything out. I don't think you know, and there have been interviews with Supreme Court justices who have been a little bit less firm on the three-term thing. So, I mean, that movement has started to move a little bit more towards it stopping being a joke and being slightly more of a reality. You try not to be alarmist. You try to be nuanced. And yet, I think Trump does want absolute power. Whether he will get it, who knows? But he does absolutely want to be able to just do what he wants to do without opposition. And he has now decided that all left-wing critique is radical left rhetoric that he's allowed shut down.
Lorcan Nyhan, head of training at the Communications Clinic, Sunday Independent columnist. Lorcan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.